tweet at TodaySOR.
It's been more than a month now since the schools closed, and while the majority of children and families have nothing more to complain about except a bit of boredom setting in, there are indeed children out there and families for whom this is very difficult, very lonely, and in some cases potentially dangerous. We want to focus on those children and young people now, and to that end I'm joined by Caroline O'Sullivan, who's the Director of Services with the Irish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, also by Roisin McDade, who is the Project Leader with Barnardo's South Cork City Family Support Programme Project, and Tanya Ward, who's Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Good morning to you all. Caroline, I'm going to begin with you. We heard at the beginning of this crisis that calls to Childline had increased in that first week or so. Has that trend continued?
Absolutely. Initially, when the schools closed, we did receive a surge in telephone calls. The demand has continued to grow, but the demand has been more focused on our online-based services, so our text service and our live messaging service. And when we were looking at to children and asking them, OK, why is this happening? For them, it was because they wanted their conversations with us to remain private. So children are in homes, and what they are telling us is that they are living in fear in their homes in some situations. The reality is that these restrictions, which have been put in place for very, very good reason, are actually exacerbating the abuse scenarios that some children are actually living in. So if you take a child who lives in a domestic and violence situation, they are living in that now 24 hours a day. Their only break is if they go for their 2 kilometre walk and back again. And for these children, what they're describing to us is the fact that even though the abuse mightn't be happening 24 hours a day, they are living in fear of something coming, of maybe saying the wrong thing, looking the wrong way, worrying about a sibling maybe saying something or doing something. And this has all been worsened by the fact that there is now a lot of alcohol being drunk at home as well, to the same extent that we would normally see in Childline during the Christmas period, where we always get a big surge in calls around children and distress and arguments and violence at home relating to alcohol.
That is happening now as well. Yeah, and are these children that would have been in contact before that have witnessed scenarios like this previously, or are you having new callers witnessing something like this for the first time as a result specifically of the restrictions?
There's a bit of both, actually. So we would have scenarios where children have been living through this and have contacted us previously, but now they're finding it even more difficult because their coping capacity has now changed. So for a lot of children, they would have had breaks from this, which is really, really important. They would have been able to go meet their friends. They could have gone to friends' houses. They would have been involved in other activities. And all of those things build their esteem, build their confidence, and build their belief and their ability to cope. And that is now gone. Right. So children are finding it more and more difficult in those situations. And yes, we have received calls from children that had never contacted Childline before. I was talking to one of our volunteers this morning who was contacting me about a particular scenario where this child is absolutely devastated. This hadn't happened before. All hell broke loose in the house and this child was living in fear. So we've had both scenarios where you've got this has just gotten worse for some children and it has started in other families. The reality is that children are in a heightened risk of abuse in these scenarios. There's heightened levels of psychological distress. Children are talking to us about severe levels of anxiety where they are now reaching the point where they are self-harming in order to cope. And the other issue is that some of these children would have been linked in with other services, but those have been reduced because services haven't continued as normal.
Okay.
Understandably so. It is a very difficult scenario.
All right. Stay there. Roisin McDade, good morning to you. You're with Barnardo's in Cork City. First of all, have services like yours, have they been reduced as a result of the restrictions? And secondly, I'm very conscious this morning as well about children living in emergency accommodation.
Yes, Damien. I suppose in Barnardo's, we are doing everything we can to continue working and delivering essential services to the children and families that we work with. We've had to rapidly adjust the ways in which we work, and we've seen a massive change. And a huge part of that has been a massive upscaling in our food parcel programme across the country. Because what we've seen emerging really in the last few weeks has been, you know, a huge proportion of the families that we work with are suffering from extreme food poverty. So they're really struggling to put food on the table for their children. So we've had to move really quickly quickly and respond to that need. But I suppose frontline staff have been on the ground. You know, we're considered to be essential services, so we're putting together and delivering food parcels. We're delivering weekly resource packs. We're getting out there and we're seeing children from a safe distance. So I suppose what we're trying to do is we're trying to remind children that we're still here, we're still working, we're still thinking about them, and we still care about them. You know, I suppose, yes, definitely children in emergency accommodation, children in homelessness situations, we're really, really concerned for those children. You know, parents are reporting that their children are really struggling being confined to the four walls of their mm-hmm. hotel rooms, of their bedrooms, you know, and I suppose another issue that's coming up is trying to access their academic work. You know, they can't find a quiet space to do that and open a book. So that's becoming a huge worry. And I suppose that disadvantage is growing for those children, you know.
And do you find yourself that in recent weeks you've been helping new families? I think you probably have about 50 families on your books there that you deal with regularly. Are you having new applicants as well?
We are. And I suppose we've opened up our waiting list as well. We would have had a quite a large waiting list too. So we're able to open up our waiting list and engage with families that have been waiting for our services. But also our funder, TUSA, who are looking for us to be on the ground working with the families that they're really concerned about. So those families that Caroline would have alluded to, we're going out and we're doing, I suppose, check-ins, doorstep drops. We're dropping the food parcels and we're waving to children through windows. We're sitting in our cars and we're ringing them from the cars so that they can see us. You know, so I suppose those services that where, you know, agencies would have been able to go, you know, within families' homes in the past, we're now, I suppose, able to do that at a remove. Right. And the asks are growing, I suppose, from other agencies for us to check in with the children.
And Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, I think food poverty is something that you're aware of now as we move into the second month of this crisis. So many of us, families, children, you know, would not be used to eating three meals at home and in any given day. Is that something to actually worry about, especially in home homes where maybe, you know, cooking would never have been a priority and where children were depending on a nourishing meal outside the family home?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, one of the things that we have in Ireland is in a lot of community-based creches, and actually a lot of creches nationally, children would have gotten a meal as part of their daily care. And in fact, in some creches would give a child two meals a day because they'd be aware that child mightn't get fed at home. So we're very worried about those children, what's happening for them, because if they're not linked into services already, like Bernardo's or to TUSA, the family resource centres, we're really worried about what's happening to them as well. But I suppose just to echo what's happening for vulnerable families from a child protection point of view, this is a real issue, because the longer the restrictions and the quarantine continues, it's going to have an impact on those vulnerable families who are at home, because a lot of their care and their safety plans are really dependent on having professionals in contact with them every day. So if you're not in contact with your local teacher who's getting to see you every mm-hmm. day, you can see whether you're hungry, whether you've had a good night's sleep, that can see if there's a change in behaviour. If you're not in contact with the local youth worker who would have noticed the change, the person that you trust that you might tell that something is going on at home, all of these services aren't available in the same way. And it's had a knock-on effect on the child protection referrals as well. There has been a fall because these professionals don't have the same contacts with these children.
But do these professionals, are they considered, sorry for cutting across you, are they considered an essential service at these times? Can children that are vulnerable, can they actually be seen by professionals?
Well, social workers are still going and visiting families, and there are many organisations that are still going in, and they are seen as essential services, and they are working with vulnerable families, but not at all levels. And I suppose if you look at how these safety plans for these vulnerable children are constructed, they are based on the public health nurse, on the teacher, on the youth worker, on the after school worker also playing a role with these families. And that's very hard to address with the current restrictions. And it's one of the things we need to balance. You know, we talk about versus the economy, versus poverty, versus the health implications of COVID-19. We also need to be thinking about the implications for vulnerable children and families as well. Because the other thing that's coming to us from our members is also the toxic stress that that's happening at home. People are out of work. They're worried about how they're going to pay their mortgage. You have a lot of families with children with high-level needs. They have disability. Those children aren't in sessional care anymore. They're not getting the same therapeutic interventions. Some of those families will reach breaking points over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's I think down the line, we're going to have to really look at how we support these families going forward.
Yeah, Caroline, just back to you briefly. Caroline O'Sullivan of the ISPCC. Mm. This is an unintended consequence of the lockdown and the restriction, the psychological stress, as Tania has pointed out there, that's been placed on parents. And we must bear in mind that maybe a lot of the stresses that are being felt by children contacting you are as a result of the unintended stress that might be in the home, where parents are arguing over issues to do with financial worries and so on and so forth, and certainly unintentional in disturbing their children. But it does actually happen. So what is the key piece of advice here for, obviously, for the parents in that in such a scenario that, of children that never have found themselves in this situation before, the new children that have been contacting you and ones that potentially, as this continues, will be contacting you as they see pressure grow within the home? What's your advice to parents who are at their wits' end in a lot of cases as well?
Yeah, I think parents and carers have had a very, very tough time. They've been juggling parenting, educating, maybe working at home, maybe trying to get to work at home when they've got babies and toddlers. They could also be dealing with teenagers who are finding it very difficult to stay inside. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the main advice that we would give to parents, and just to let parents know, we do have a support line for them. And all the details are on our website, ispcc.ie, and it's available every day. So if you are a parent and you're particularly worried about a particular thing, please contact us and we'll be here to support you. But the main thing, I suppose, for parents to be aware of is the fact that very often they need to look at their own anxiety levels. So what is it that's causing them anxiety? Limit the news feeds. And while we mightn't actually realise it, we are as anxious in many ways as our children are, but we're not actually recognising that level of anxiety. We need to be calm. We need to reassure our children. But talk about what it is that's actually worrying you and worrying you as a parent, and get the support that is actually out there. We've already mentioned TUSLA is still working. Community groups are still going out supporting groups. You've got your local authority helpline that will actually support parents as well throughout the country and the county. The big thing that I would say to parents is your children, if they are constantly looking at new.
Okay, we just lost you there briefly on the line there, but we're going to wrap with that. Caroline O'Sullivan, Director of Services with the ISPCC, who, by the way, can be contacted on 1-800-666-666. 1-800-666-666 if you'd like to contact the ISPCC in confidence. And the Barnardo's COVID parent line for parents is 1-800-910-123. 1-800-910-123. So thank you indeed to Tanya Ward of the Children's Rights Alliance, Roisin McDade of Barnardo's in South Cork, and Caroline O'Sullivan, Director of Services with the ISPCC. And hopefully later on, when we have some more clarity on state exams, that might help reduce the anxiety, which understandably a lot of students and their parents are feeling right now.